You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my beer bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is gonna be worth a few bucks.
And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic book box.
Yeah, right on.
That's below average.
Halt! Smash!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
I'm Adam Bishop.
And I'm Chris Gilpin.
All right.
What's happening tonight?
We did it.
We got here.
What did we do?
Oh,
we
got
here. Snow and more snow.
Yikes.
Say it ain't so.
It's like Canada out there.
Yeah, you guys ragging on me because I just said, hey, are we all going to make it because of the snow?
I looked out my window. I'm like, yeah, what's wrong?
It snowed for 48 hours straight.
It's fine.
I mean, sure, it wasn't all heavy snow, but it's still snowing out there.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Then you won't mind walking home.
Oh, yeah. No, I have my winter boots on.
Oh, boy.
Yep. All right. This is where Adam goes, comics.
So, Doctor Who.
No. No. All week, Adam has been goading me on Facebook or through Messenger and stuff, saying, like, I'm going to get you to talk about Doctor Who. And I said, no, because I don't want to talk about the new... I don't want to predict what I may hate about the Doctor Who finale before it happens.
What's the word on the screen?
I want to hear what your theory is.
No. You can hear my theory in private.
I was telling Dan that they're going to Marvel Legacy numbering with the Doctors. So they got Doctor minus one, and then you could have another like minus two.
Yeah. So instead of going forward, they go back.
Yeah.
It'd be...
Well, I mean, I did have a theory at one point that the Doctors aged younger each time there was a new incarnation. Because if you looked at the ages of the actors cast, they got younger and younger and younger until Capaldi got much older.
Much older. Okay.
So
that theory went out the window.
It wasn't a real theory. It was like a, maybe this is something they're doing. But
you said this was the first time someone's retconning a TV show?
No, I did not say that. And we also don't know what they're doing, which is why I don't want to speculate necessarily on something that could possibly not even be what happens.
Should we speculate on comic books instead?
We can just react to it next week. And
when does it air?
Sunday,
okay.
Yeah.
When does it air in Canada? Is it 3 hours later?
Yeah, something like that. Four
yeah,
hours.
So at like 4 o'clock on Sunday, my British friends will tell me if they've ruined the show. I'll see it all over Facebook. But as I can't remember who posted it, but somebody posted an article on Doctor Who, and I didn't read the article, but just read the comments. And you know, that's always fun.
Yeah.
Reading the comments, because they were all just like, oh, blah, 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 blah.
They're all toxic. There's no good comments on any website.
Why even have comments on a website?
I don't know.
Like, I feel, do these websites get something out of that? Like, or do they just want to be a place where people full of hatred come?
That's what sells. Hate.
Yeah.
Sex and hate.
Sex.
Sex and hate.
And that's what our shows are. Adam brings the sex, and I bring the hate.
Oh, you bring the hate? Marty brings the hate. Let me tell you.
Oh, jeez. So we're not talking Doctor Who at all? I was getting prepared.
All right, fine. Talk about it.
Doctor Who.
Let's put a disclaimer in that we don't know anything, and if we're wrong, we'll just erase this show. Go ahead, lead. You want to talk about it. I was going to avoid it.
So what's his name? Chibnall?
Chibnall, yeah.
Chibnall. He's wanting to do something huge. And, I mean, he's already got a female doctor. And this season, I think this season's been great.
Yeah.
Really entertaining. But I think my theory is that the Gallifrey that they're seeing is from the past. And the new master is really an old master. And so is this new Joe, the Doctor Who.
Yes, Joe Martin, yeah, I believe, is the actress's name.
I think she's also from the past, before.
Which means... they're retconning a doctor in before William Hartnell as first doctor.
Yeah.
So, that is what would make me lose my marbles as a fan of the show.
Yeah.
Will they call the doctor the Lost Doctor?
Well, that's the thing, right? Because when they introduced the War Doctor, they didn't change the numberings of any of the doctors. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, they just gave him a specific name. So, yes, maybe. Did you do some research, Adam? It actually sounds like you may have because, you know. But, yes, Timeless Doctor.
Where would I start?
But I've also, one of the things that I read online is the theory that there's going to be a whole regeneration cycle previous, not one doctor. So, this could be just a doctor from that regeneration cycle, and that at the end the doctor's mind was wiped, which could be similar to what we saw happen in the last episode to Brendan.
Yes,
he had his memories wiped.
Yes, but we don't know who or what he is.
I still think he's just a Cyberman, especially because the device they put on his head even looks like a bit like a Cyberman.
He's the Cyberman with the half.
Yeah, see, another thing, like, I don't know if that doesn't make sense time-wise, because, like, how did he get from, like, 1930s, 40s Earth to being a Cyberman?
Yeah.
But I do think that when he fell off the cliff and miraculously recovered, maybe he actually died, and the rest is just in his mind as a Cyberman.
Well, that could be.
But that's also kind of a lame thing. Why does every showrunner think it's their job to change the entire history of Doctor Who? You know who didn't? Russell T. Davies. He was just like, I'm going to tell some Doctor Who stories and just enjoy the show for what it is.
Is this a new showrunner? Like, they're just taking over?
No. Okay. Well, this is his second year for Chris Chibnall.
So he just wants to put like his thumbprint on
And be like, you don't have to change. You can just tell good stories and be remembered for telling good stories.
Yeah.
You don't have to be remembered because you changed the like race and sex of the doctor, or you changed this and that, or you destroyed Gallifrey, or you resurrected Gallifrey, you know? Because the next guy's just going to come along and undo what you did anyways.
Before the current doctor is still the lady one, right?
Yeah.
Before her, was it just like white men?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have something to say?
No, I just asked some questions.
Mm-hmm. So.
But there is a story there with Joe.
There is a story there.
Why her memory was wiped, why her companion, who I guess was her husband or something, still knew who she was. I mean, there's a whole story there. So why she buried her TARDIS, and I don't know.
The story that introduced Joe, wasn't even an original story, because it was just a repeat of a Russell T. Davies story where the David Tennant doctor did the same thing.
Oh, yeah?
Right?
Okay.
Where he became a school teacher in the 40s. Do you remember that one?
I don't remember that one.
I think it was one with him and Martha. And there was like, that was the iconic imagery from that one was like scarecrows that came to life.
Mm.
If you remember the scarecrows. It was a good episode for like David Tennant acting. See, these are the episodes that when the doctor gets to play a different character, right? Because he's just playing an English school teacher. So David Tennant was probably like, hey, man, I need to put something else on my resume, not just Doctor Who. So, like, give me a role where I can do something vastly different. Okay, well, we'll just come up with a reason why you have no memories and you can just be a school teacher in the 1940s. Sounds good. Sounds good. Put that on the old resume.
Well, it's better than the role he took after Doctor Who with the...
Which was what?
The either remake or continuation of Fright Night. I think he was one of
them. Fright Night Part 2, I think.
Part 3, I think, because Part 2 was a direct continuation of Part 1.
Did you ever see him in Blackpool?
I don't think so.
It was a really bizarre TV show, and it had David Morrissey in it as well. Mm. And he played a villain, like... A villainish, like he was the bad guy, but like he wasn't a bad guy, like, you know, like I don't want to say a Joker character, but he was like a guy who was just a normal guy and then like just got pushed to the edge. And David Tennant was a detective, and it was a musical though. They would just start singing like popular songs in the middle of the show, and it was insane. And because of the songs, I don't think it's ever been released, because getting licensing for that kind of stuff is hard. Right, but it was cool. You might be able to find it on the interwebs somewhere. But yeah, that was interesting. But anyways, don't ruin Doctor Who, Chris Chibnall, you stupid jerk.
So it's either going to be a really good episode or a really frustrating one for Dan, I think.
So is this a season premiere or finale?
Finale.
Finale, okay.
Now, here's the thing. When I like Stephen Moffat in general, who was the previous showrunner before Chris Chibnall. However, there were so many times he pushed the envelope on threatening to reveal something. Like every year it seemed like he's like, I'm going to say what the Doctor's real name is this year. Mm-hmm. Or like in, you know, he would have Clara, they went back in time to see the Doctor as a child on Gallifrey, you know? And like, there's just like, there were so many times that I was like, this guy is going to ruin everything. And he knew he couldn't ruin everything by doing something like revealing the Doctor's real name or, you know, doing something too idiotic with the Doctor's past, right? He certainly had his moments. He 100% had his moments where I was like, the first time I'd watched the episode, I'd be like, this is too far. I don't want this revealed. You know, the Doctor is not a character that's good if you know everything about them. The fact that they're a mystery is part of the reason why, you know, like I don't ever want to know a name for the Doctor.
No.
That would literally be ruining the show to give the Doctor a name.
Yeah.
So it would be like if they did a James Bond movie and he's like, well, my name's actually Bill Smith and James Bond is a code name. And you'd be like, franchise is ruined. Like, even if it is a code name, coming out and saying it ruins it. So.
But the master, it's the master that is the focal point for me, because Master Missy, they wrap that up. Like, there can't be a new...
I had a thought.
Out of Missy.
Sorry, I had a thought that fits in with Joe Martin's Doctor. Here's an idea. She could be the actual third Doctor. Because when Patrick Troughton regenerates, but we don't see what he regenerates into. It cuts, and then it comes back later with John Pertwee already as the Doctor, stumbling out of the TARDIS, having just regenerated. They say that he was being punished by the Time Lords for what Patrick Troughton's Doctor did. Mm-hmm. But that sounds very similar to like the War Doctor, you know, and Christopher Eccleston's regenerations. And it also fits the TARDIS style is the same as like the first or second Doctor. So continuing on, putting her as the third Doctor. Now that would ruin the numbering.
The whole numbering.
You know. And I have to say, I don't think I'm wrong as a fan to not want them to cram a Doctor any sort of doctor in there and ruin the numbering. Mm-hmm. You know what? Because the War Doctor, the only reason I'm not spitting mad over the War Doctor is because they just call him the War Doctor.
Yeah.
If they tried to say that was the Ninth Doctor, we'd be fighting right now. You know? I would be on the street fighting people who have a different opinion because it's just stupid. So if they want to put her in as the Lost Doctor or the Timeless Child Doctor, somewhere in between the other doctors, I can live with that as long as the story is good.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the title of the...
Yes, the Timeless Children.
The Timeless Children.
Children, though. Children.
Yeah.
So does that mean, could that mean it's an entire regeneration cycle?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So the Timeless Child, you'll have to remind me what that is.
The Timeless Child is just something that has been said two or three times since Chibnall started in passing.
Oh, so it's not an old thing.
No,
oh,
okay. No. It was first said during the second episode of the first Chibnall season. So last season, during the Ghost Monument episode, like some aliens say, "We know about the Timeless Child," and the Doctor's like, "What? What are you talking about? What do you know?" And then you know, danger comes up, and they have to run away without getting any answers. And then it was just brought up this year in the season premiere, and then just recently.
Okay.
So what do you think is going to happen, Adam?
I don't know.
The right answer would be, you're going to be mad.
Oh, yeah. No one will be happy. Everyone will be upset.
It's going to be big, whatever it is.
Is it,
good
though?
Good or bad.
Like, they say that, but, like, Stephen Moffat said everything's going to be big and nothing was. Mm-hmm. The only thing is that Chris Chibnall is actually very good at keeping things locked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there have been no leaks of what's coming.
Yeah.
No monsters leaked, no plots leaked. Everything has been very controlled, where when Stephen Moffat was in charge, it was the Wild West for rumors because like, people were like, if you tried, you could know everything about the episodes before they came out just from people leaking stuff. So I do have to say, like, I appreciate not being spoiled by people taking photos from the set and posting them on Twitter and stuff. Like, it's nice to have the episodes be a surprise. And I would love for it to be something like, you know, one of the rumors is that Jodie Whittaker is going to leave and this is the new Doctor that's being introduced.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they don't remember each other, because when, you know, a new Doctor sometimes has memory issues and stuff or whatever. They've made things before where they... You can come up with any reason to make the Doctor forget anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be cool if they had a surprise regeneration that, like, we literally didn't see coming. Like, you know, me talking about it doesn't count as seeing it coming. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it would be cool if something like that happened. But what wouldn't be cool is cramming an entire regeneration cycle before the Doctor, especially since we saw him as a child as portrayed during the Stephen Moffat years.
Mm.
How do children work on Gallifrey? Like, do they get a certain age and then they just regenerate when to that age?
I was going to ask you, like...
Well, we saw River Song regenerate as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
She, like, died as a child and regenerated.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Uncharted territory.
Yeah, because we don't know how old Hartnell was or is or did was, I guess.
How many years? Well, I know, like, during the Troughton years, he said he was about 400 years old.
Yeah.
So Hartnell, then if we say, we could say Hartnell was up to, you know, 200, 250, 300 years old.
Yeah.
But back then, they just threw out the age whenever.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, the Doctor is 10 million years old because Stephen Moffat had to make him super cool and have him relive, like, one moment for 10 million years in a time loop.
Yeah.
So Adam looks bored to death, and he's probably so mad he brought this up in the first place. And guess what? I warned you. I said, don't bring this up. So boom. Now, here's an Adam-style segue. But I'm not going to segue out of Doctor Who yet. I was thinking, who would make a good showrunner? Who would be good to write for the show? And we'll segue it to some comics, because you know who wrote some Doctor Who comics?
Who?
Is Grant Morrison.
Oh.
And Grant Morrison, I think, I would love to see Grant Morrison write like a Doctor Who season, you know. I also think, and Chris, do you agree with me? Like, has Doctor Who become too dark to go back to being like a fun show?
No,
you don't think so. Like, I think it has. I think it would be so jarring to go back to like a Eccleston Tenant style show where there are stupid looking monsters that are like make fart noises. Like, it's not Moffat made the show so dark.
Yeah.
Now, and to be fair, if you look back at like the Tom Baker years, you know, Tom Baker's second season is a very dark, like with lots of gothic horror. And then you can go from that to Sylvester McCoy, who's, you know, dressed like a clown and stuff. So I guess you can come back, but that was like 10, 15 years in between those two points. So
I think it all just depends on who the Doctor is and what, how they want to portray him or her.
So what do you want to talk about now, Adam?
Comics?
Comics?
He's got his box.
Hey, wait. I segued.
Quiet, Dan.
But I segued into my Grant Morrison comics that I brought.
Oh.
So, but because I've talked for 20 minutes straight, I'll let Adam have a few moments. Yeah, Go ahead.
I bought a comic book box holder.
Oh, you just brought a box?
No, with, I have stuff.
Oh, okay. But, now, did you buy this because Marty has one?
No, I had Amazon money and I saw it on there. I was like, I'll grab that. It was recommended when I bought the bins. It was like, you should get a little box. I'm like, I will get a little box. Yeah so I ripped a page out of a comic.
Did you really?
Yeah,
it didn't come decorated like that?
No, I ripped it right out. I had
you
doubles.
Blasphemous heathen.
So,
look, and it's not even cut. It's literally ripped with jagged edges.
That makes it look cool.
No, it does not.
Yeah, so that's the
monster.
The first appearance of my favorite X-Men villain.
And wait, so you ripped a page out with a first appearance.
With the first appearance, yes. But like I said, I have doubles.
Some CGC guy right now is literally screaming.
Well,
this is,
and it's me.
Chris Bocciolo's Generation X.
It is. Issue 2.
There you go.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, though.
The character?
Yeah.
She mentions it in the first panel.
Sugarman.
Sugarman.
You son of a gun.
And as I was going through the comic, I'm like, I know I have doubles of the first appearance of Sugarman. So I find it, and I'm looking through it, and I'm like, okay, this is the first appearance in silhouette. And I'm going through the entire issue, and I'm like, okay, he's only in a silhouette. So I just ripped out the first page. I'm like, there we go. Perfect.
Can you, I can't talk to you about this because you did it. Can you imagine ripping out a page of the first appearance of your favorite villain?
If it makes you feel better, I recycled the comic book afterwards. I threw it in my recycling box.
Why? Okay, there's no back. I was going to say, why didn't you put a second page in the back?
If he was on the cover of the issue, is he on the cover? I don't think he is. But if he was on the cover, I would have put that in. Yeah. But this is way cooler.
Is that Husk? Is that who
you know what you could have done is a photocopy.
Ew,
you could have just photocopied.
This is an original.
You destroyed a comic with the first appearance.
Nobody else is going to have this page ripped out the exact same way that I have it ripped out.
Makes it original.
That's an original rip.
That would be like saying that if you wipe your butt with it, it would be original because nobody else would have that.
It would be an original wipe.
Oh, geez.
It'll never be wiped.
You're
going
to take
that
to a convention and get it signed?
Yeah. Who was the artist, sorry, again?
Doesn't even know the artist on his favorite
Chris
characters.
Bocciolo.
There you go. I don't care who
the artist. I always liked his work.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, so I brought... let's open it up. I brought DVDs. That's right. I haven't watched these. They're two Will Eisner DVDs.
Will Eisner, yeah.
Oh, these were notes of stuff I might want to talk about.
It just says Anger Dan over Doctor Who, and then it's an empty page.
Yeah.
No, I brought comics. Let me see. Oh, no. What's the first comic? Oh, here we go. Pass this to Chris. So I looked through this one a little bit.
Sliders.
Yeah, so... at which this takes place between at least season 1 and 3, because it's the 4 original cast members in it, and they're just sliding from planet to planet.
I think Sliders would have made a better comic series than TV show. Because the possibilities are way more endless.
Well, they did one episode, opening where Germany had won the war.
It was in the first season.
Yeah. But they didn't. They were like in and out, right? Or did they stay for a while?
Arthur Montura was his last name. Gimli guy.
Yeah. John Rhys Davies.
He was like a big general in the army. In like the clone version, or the duplicate, I should say.
Oh, okay.
Because no matter what Earth they land on, their doubles always have something big to do with that planet.
Right.
Which is always fun.
Which makes sense, though.
It does.
In the multiverse theory, because they're important in their world for having discovered travel between universes and multiverses, right? So, therefore...
Oh, it's based on the hit TV series.
Yeah. Unfortunately, when it went downhill.
Oh, hard. God, yeah.
Yeah, episode 4.
No, they were shown at
first few seasons were...
Oh, they're fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you had aliens and not clones, but yeah, they're doubles and then...
See, the problem that I found is when they introduced the alien menace, which makes sense because you do need some sort of driving force bad guy.
Yeah.
But every show, when they go from being a purely episodic show to having like a villain, they go too hard at it and it becomes the entire focus. Mm-hmm. And you lose all the fun that was just like, you know, like Stargate was the same.
Yeah.
You know, like the fun is the jumping between worlds and the new worlds. And then when it's all just about the bad guy, it gets boring.
Usually most TV shows like this, once you do season one, maybe two of like Villain of the Week or like Planet of the Week, and then you have to have an overarching story throughout the other seasons to keep people on.
The problem that I find is that is correct. But what they do is, even if they're doing the smallest thing, like they have to make it about the storyline.
Yeah.
You know, like they can't just, for example, on Stargate, you know, they couldn't just be like, we're going to go explore a planet. They're like, we've got to go search for resources to try to build up this thing to fight this guy. You know, like it, and that has to be put in to be the reason. Like, because once you introduce the bad guy, they can't justify just planet hopping for fun anymore. You know, it's all about having to stop the villain.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Do you got some more?
Did you read it? You haven't read it yet?
I've gone through this one. This is one of two, so I have both of those. There's, I think, 4 or 5 different, like, miniseries. But yeah, this one...
What company is that from?
Armada, which I've never heard of until I got this. But they do lots of licensed books, just like, what, Now and Star... But those were imprints. But yeah, these guys did it. Oh, I'm gonna rip it.
You're gonna rip it open.
Just the worst sound. Yeah, because inside it's just previews for video games, and then.
But that's in a lot of comics from the '90s.
And then the Baywatch comic stories.
Now we know how you got into it.
The artwork's.
The artwork seems like typical. Poorly done '90s.
Just like stretched aliens. Yeah, they find aliens on this planet, and then the end, they go to a planet where the Area 51 aliens show up, and I guess the President of the United States says, "Yeah, you can farm the humans, and then take them for." It doesn't really say, but yeah.
And we'll never know because you don't own issue number 2.
I think I have number 2 of this. I'm not 100% sure. And then, yeah.
Yeah, go pull out another one.
I don't know what else is.
That was the only one that you were actually prepared to talk about?
Hasina. Oh, I brought this one. This is horrible.
WCW.
This is a WCW wrestling comic.
Nice.
Where it actually is, like, art and stories of just the wrestlers having a good time in the ring. And it's bad as well.
But it's the first body slamming collector's issue.
As opposed to the second body slamming collector's issue.
Yeah, I've seen other places. It's.
Is this the first appearance of Lex Luger on the cover?
Oh, probably.
It's Marvel.
Yeah.
There you go. It's got a few spine things. Looks like it's been through the ringer.
Yeah, the Sliders one's in great shape, which I was super surprised. I pulled in, like, this is a 9.8, maybe. I should submit it.
you.
Which reminds me, I saw. I can't remember what issue or what comic book it was. It was something that was CGC, and I looked at the top corner. I'm like, oh, where are the details? and it was the first appearance of a certain character in, like, the mainline continuity. And I'm like, oh, is that another detail? Because it's like, I guess.
Well, yeah. That's okay, because, like, Harley Quinn is the same, right? Because yeah. She has her first appearance is just, like, in the TV continuity or whatever.
Yeah.
Spider-Girl, she was in a what if. At first.
Yeah, Spider-Girl.
Yeah, which has, uh-oh. This has what, to do with my what are you doing? Notes.
What are you bringing out there?
I typed this up, I think when
it's
we
just
went...
just a big middle finger.
I typed this up a while ago when we went out to dinner, all of us. I mentioned it. This is the types of CGC appearances the top corner. So these are all the different types.
Right.
Which my favorite one is Amazing Spider-Man number 5. Which is the first Doctor Doom appearance outside the Fantastic Four with a Fantastic Four cameo.
That's a lot.
But a cameo is their first appearance in its entirety.
That one
right?
should just say Doctor Doom appearance with Fantastic Four, because they
but
do
it's,
note
but
appearances.
It's his first appearance
I know.
Not in Fantastic Four.
But they do note just like random character appearances on the label. So it should just take, if you take the first appearance off, there's nothing wrong with that one.
Yeah, oh, there's so many. I just want to go down them all, but I can't. But my favorite was last price point issue. So like last 35 cent issue, like who cares? Yeah. I guess that's a thing that people collect.
Yeah.
It's just, I just want issues that like the last one that was 35 cents. And then last costume for this character to appear in a comic.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh.
That's a long list.
Oh, it's, yeah. First American appearance of, and then.
Doctor Who.
Yep. It's.
I have that issue.
Do you?
Yeah. Marvel Premiere 57.
Last appearance of character, last character name in comic series name. I was just going through them. Like, there's so many, I was trying to get them all.
I almost brought the first appearance of Doctor Who in comics. Which is
like
a,
in general?
Yes, which is a Dell book, Doctor Who and the Daleks. Do you know that one, Chris?
I probably
or a
seen
gold
it.
Key might be a gold key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which doctor is it?
It's the movie. The like from Peter. Anyway.
was that like first?
Oh, who is this famous guy? Famous guy.
Is that first published in North America or the UK?
No. It was published, but it's the first appearance of the Doctor, but it's not the TV Doctor.
Okay.
It's they made two movies during the 60s, right when Doctor Who started, because it was so popular. They were like, oh, how can we capitalize on this? So they
those
just
are
retold.
New Doctors as well? I'm asking Doctor Who.
No, they're not in continuity. They're not like considered canon.
Oh,
so
ooh, weird.
Who is
so they're lost doctors.
Yeah.
You know what, if they want to bring him into continuity, that would be great, except that they can't. And would you like to know why?
Not really, but go
because one of the actors that played one of the companions in this TV or in this movie actually went on to play companion's father in the newer series, Bernard Cribbins.
But that's just the actor.
The actor, but it's the same actor.
So
he can't play two roles.
I can name
in Doctor
Who,
they've
played...
never had two roles. Colin Baker wasn't a guard the season before he became the Doctor.
So it's not like
definitely
Marvel and
wasn't.
DC movies.
I thought Karen Gillan.
She definitely wasn't in a Roman episode 3 years before her
yes,
appearance.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
And you know,
so
who else?
Yeah.
Who else? I can keep them coming here. Like most of the several of the doctors had an appearance just as a bit character.
Okay, so
before they became.
Yeah, it's fine. What books did you bring?
Well, I have to look up who the actor is
for the
TV movie, so you can just do something. I don't know.
Yeah, there's in Marvel movies, there's characters who or actors who play multiple characters, like
Chris Evans.
Yeah.
But would you consider different studios like that's okay? So like that was a Fox character.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Oh, it was Peter Cushing that played the Doctor.
Peter Cushing.
Oh wow.
So
of horror movie fame. Him, Christopher Lee, and who else was it? Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee, and there's someone else. It's like the trio. Oh, Vincent Price.
Hmm.
Yeah, those three did lots of movies together.
Vampires.
Vampires? Yeah, Dracula.
Yeah, Dracula.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Bernard Cribbins. Who cares about Star Wars? We don't want to talk about that.
Or Peter Cushing played. Who's the Van Helsing?
Yeah,
I think right a lot in the old movies.
Yeah.
Now you're just gonna tie it back to Doctor Who again because
speaking of
Van Helsing, Stephen Moffat made a Dracula episode. Did you watch Dracula?
I don't remember that either.
It's brand new. It's on Netflix. Came out just over Christmas.
Oh, like a new movie? Or
that's a new three-part TV show where each episode's an hour and a half.
Oh, I thought you went in with Doctor Who episode.
Yeah, no. But it's like Dracula's Doctor. There's Doctor Who Dracula, but no.
No, it's not Marvel Knights.
No, Dracula is on Netflix or something?
Yeah, it's on Netflix from Mark Gatiss and Stephen Moffat. If you're a Doctor Who fan and you watch it, like you'll definitely be able to tell it's from people who worked on Doctor Who because like it's shot in a similar style where like I can watch it and I'm like, oh, that shot just is Doctor Who, you know? So, yep. All right, I did bring some comics.
Yay.
So, here, let's talk about Stephen... Nope. Let's talk about Grant Morrison.
Yeah.
Now.
He's crazy.
He is crazy. And here is his craziest work. Have you gentlemen read Sea Guy?
Nope.
No. I've seen it.
Is that an intestine on the ground?
No. I read this like a couple weeks ago, so I've forgotten. It's called a zoo.
Okay.
XOO. I'm not sure how you pronounce that.
And zoo.
It's a edible food that's also alive, like it's bred in captivity and just put into everything. And Sea Guy is a guy who's dressed up like a diver, you know, with his little mask on and a wetsuit and his giant like tuna fish friend who follows him around while smoking a cigar.
Underwater.
No, the fish hates water.
Oh,
the fish hates water, and so he never goes underwater.
He looks like the baby.
Flies?
He looks like the baby from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
He does fly. I'm trying to... Chubby, that was his name, Chubby.
What kind of fish is he?
Well, he looks like a tuna to me, but maybe he's like... Maybe he's a different type of fish, like a deep sea tuna. So this is on the floor.
It's not a 9.8.
Sorry.
Luckily, it's just a graphic novel. I picked this up for like $5 at a convention, you know, 10 years ago and read it. And the first time I read it, I was just like, what the bloody hell is this? Because like there is nothing. This is got to be some sort of like vanity project type thing where there's no plot. There is no plot in this entire thing. It's 3 issues long. There's no plot. He just goes from weird situation to weird situation with no reason for doing it. Like, you think that something, the story's going in one direction, and then you find out that the moon is actually an ancient Egyptian temple that was launched into the sky.
Mm.
But in a Scooby-Doo turn of events, some crooked real estate developer is trying to turn it into a theme park. Like it's just, it's insanity. There is nothing between issue to issue that makes sense.
There's no consistency in the size of this fish.
That's a different angle. Also, he's dead at that point.
His
spoilers.
Hand is on him.
Spoilers. The fish
Chubby.
Dies. They killed Chubby.
Oh,
and then the end of it ends with Sea Guy's mind being wiped, and he's given a parrot as a pet instead. Sent back to Earth.
Was he eating the fish there?
I don't think he was.
Because at one point it shows, like, on the boat, he's just in there, and then the fish, it's all skeleton from the neck down.
Yeah, no, because I think that, like, the seagulls ate it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's just so bizarre, and there's nothing. I love Grant Morrison's writing, like, 99% of the time. I love it. And, you know, the next Grant Morrison book I talk about will be something that actually is good. But this one is just so bizarre. And now, before I get to the one that's good, Adam, I think, did I bring these and did you see these already? Or was that a different set?
Not that I recall. Do you have all
of them? I have two. I don't have all of them. I have two Seaguy CGC episode CGC slabs, 9.8s. They're signed by Cameron Stewart, who is the artist.
Nice.
And so I picked...
you need one. Do you get this from the same person?
Yes, from Paradise Comics in Toronto.
So,
but they didn't do issue number 3. So I can't get issue number 3 unless I submit it.
Okay, I was going to say, the barcodes here, this one ends in 13, this one ends in 11, so it's number 12?
No, there was probably just another guy just working on a different book.
Oh, okay.
Because I asked them.
They really didn't do... Why? Was
maybe
it not
number
out?
3 wasn't out yet, I don't know. Yeah, because I bought these both off of eBay like 2 or 3 years ago, and they were both up at the same time, and I messaged them, and I was like, do you have a number 3? And they're like, no. And I was like, no!
And that's why, that's why nobody bought them yet, but... No, that's cool.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, the series is insanity and pretty stupid, but when they decide to make a TV show out of it, LOL,
cool.
I'll be in the money. And so there was also a follow-up. Seaguy, Slaves of Mickey Eye. Mickey Eye is the name of the theme park they're building on the moon.
Oh, okay.
And I picked these ones up. These say Paradise Comics on them as well, but I actually bought them at the warehouse in
Pickering,
yes, for $1.
Guardian.
Guardian, yes. I didn't realize there was a sequel series, so I thought these were the actual issues because I bought this before I had the slabs.
Oh, okay.
But now that I know that they're not, it's cool.
Is that the full run?
I believe so. Because see, now that's a very good question, Adam, because I assumed because the first issue or first one was 3 issues that the second would be 3 as well.
Yeah.
But you never know. However, it does say 1 of 3, 2 of 3, and 3 of 3.
Okay.
And this isn't Captain Canuck, so they're not going to add a 4th issue.
Yeah.
Or 2 of 3.
4 of 3.
Oh, boy.
And then, but this is one that, you know, Chris might have read. I know Adam won't have read this. All-Star Superman.
Yeah. I've watched the movie.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
This...
And that didn't Grant... Who drew it?
Frank Quitely.
Yeah, I hate his art style.
Quitely? And Quitely?
I like it.
No, he can't draw women. He is so bad at drawing women, it's not funny.
It's the mouth. The mouth I hate.
And the big chin?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's a great story.
It's a great story. I'm not a fan of him at all.
Of his art?
The art, yes. Yeah. I'm just not a fan.
Yeah, look at the face. What is that?
But like I would say this is one of the best Superman stories I've ever read. I tried to like Superman. I own way too many Superman trades because I just was buying stuff and reading it. And I just wasn't enjoying it. And then I read this and I couldn't put it down. Like it was just basically the perfect Superman story. And so different from like what he did with Batman, because this is a, you know, obviously it's a Elseworld story because Superman, you know, it's not in continuity. And it starts with Superman being basically poisoned by the sun thanks to Lex Luthor, and he's dying. And then you spend 11 issues with Superman sort of going through the stages of dying with, you know.
Is this the full story?
That is the first volume. There's a second volume.
Okay, I was going to say, yeah.
I didn't think I needed to bring them both.
No, it's okay. Yeah, because the movie is drastically different from probably what... It's more of a condensed version of what I'm assuming.
It's only 12 issues.
Oh, okay.
And, like, each issue... But the first few issues are so good. Because, like, the first issue ends with the reveal that Superman's dying. He's got basically, like, cancer or whatever that's killing him. And then the second issue is like him revealing his identity to Lois and like dealing with that and convincing, like trying to just have a good time with her knowing that he's dying, you know? And then he does the same thing, like it's him and Jimmy Olsen doing something. And it's just a very like, it's such a, it's a great heartfelt story. I didn't like the end overall, just because it kind of like felt like slightly like a letdown. Like he dies, but Superman can never die, and then it shows like a laboratory called like you know, like says like Superman trials or you know, something stupid like that.
Doesn't he just like go in the center of the sun and hang out there? Is that the ending?
No.
What the hell am I thinking?
You're probably thinking of Superman 4, Quest for Peace.
I've never watched that. No, I thought the movie he like just like sits in the. Have you seen the movie?
The movie could be different from.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he just goes in the sun and hangs.
Like, I mean, he goes. That's how he dies.
Oh, he got too close to the.
Yes,
sun.
Yes, for too long. He gets too close to the sun, and it makes him so powerful that his cells are exploding.
He has like little fireworks on his arms.
That's not portrayed in the comic book. That sounds stupid. But
I'm pretty sure that's what it's like in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's great, and so. I decided, okay, probably the last show before we had our Christmas break, I had decided, I was like, I'm going to read, I read a, do you remember The Chalice? We talked about The Chalice, the Batman one. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you were here or if Adam was here or if neither of you were here. I think it was probably Chris and Marty, so you guys don't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, I picked up a graphic novel I had for 10 years and I read it because I was like, okay, let's, I've had this for so long, just read the thing. And so I pulled out like 5 graphic novels off my shelf that I was like, I'm going to read these. And then I looked and I was like, no, I'm going to not read any of those. I'm going to read All-Star Superman. And so I started reading that. And then I was like, now I'm just going to read only Grant Morrison. So I decided to read just Grant Morrison for a while. So I read 12 issues of that, 3 issues of Sea Guy, and started his Batman run. And then I stopped reading comics completely 2 weeks ago. But I want to get back to the Batman run because I loved his Batman run leading up to Batman RIP.
Do you want to borrow my Grant Morrison Verotica issue?
No.
He did a story in it.
I was gonna, if you're gonna say, do I want to borrow All-Star Superman, I would say yes, but there's not enough porn in it for you, so. I mean, there's a scene where Lois is having a shower, Adam. Do you want me to show you that so you can feel like you had a good time tonight?
No, I got better at home.
So.
But Morrison wrote that Green Lantern series.
He did. And I haven't read it. But I read the first issue and didn't have a great feeling.
No, I was like super stoked, right? Morrison, yeah. Green Lantern, this would be awesome. It's like, no.
And I mean, okay, Grant Morrison wrote, his writing on Batman was so different than, like, it was very intricate. There was plots that you wouldn't ever imagine. He brought in like the whole history of Batman, like bringing back Batmite and stuff. You know, and bringing back the weird stories from like the Dr. Hurt and like the weird stories from the 50s that no one ever thought would be something in continuity for real. Mm-hmm. And that was great. And that's kind of like what Geoff Johns did with Green Lantern, right? He went, what in this like 40 years, 50 years of history can we look at and make something that it wasn't before? So when somebody's already done that, Grant Morrison is probably just like, whatever, I'll just do what I can. So, yes, I haven't read that, but you can't win them all.
No.
He can't write the best Batman and the best Superman and the best Green Lantern stories.
No.
His Flash stories are all right. I don't know if you've ever read any of his Flash stories.
I don't think so.
They're not super great, but they're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I'm sure I bought all issues of that Green Lantern. So I'll let you borrow it and you can have a read.
Yeah, I almost, like, I got a $25 gift card for Christmas, and I was in Chapters looking around, and I almost picked it up with that gift card, and then I was like, no, like, that's, or it's just out in hardcover still, and I was like, I'll wait for the trade, because I don't want to pay $30 for it. Mm-hmm. I'll buy it when it's $19.
Yeah.
Because I'm cheap, okay?
This is going to be like a newbie question. Does Grant Morrison have any like big creations? Because I know he's like done a bunch of like writing for different series, but I don't know like what has he created that's his own property.
The Invisibles, I believe, was his, right? Does that sound right, Chris?
Yes, I believe so.
But you know why I like Grant Morrison is because he didn't take all of his best stuff and just go publish it on his own. He brought like Invisibles cool characters
was,
to
was Image, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I bought my brother the Invisibles omnibus for Christmas. And it's one that we've talked about a few times on the show because it's too big to read. It literally weighs 25 to 30 pounds, and it's so big you can't possibly read it. So I don't even remember how I gave it to my brother because like it's literally so big and so heavy. Like I would have just been like, here you go. Thump, it hits the floor.
I think I mentioned it before. Have you watched his, he did a speech somewhere where he started talking about where he's like abducted by aliens and whatnot.
No.
It's really good.
He's the mad Scotsman.
Yeah.
Yes. So
I think he was drunk at the speech I saw him giving.
Which means if he would make a great doctor.
As the actor. Oh my god. Is the doctor always drunk?
No. Okay. Not I'm talking about him being a mad Scotsman.
Okay. What has he created? Anything else?
I can't see. I mean, he's written a lot of stuff, but yeah. I can't see that he's created anything that's a new character.
Like, I like that. I like that he puts all of his heart and soul into whatever he's working for, even if it's not his own characters where he's making all the money. Like, that's...
Was he the boys?
I appreciate it. No, that was Garth Ennis.
Yeah, The Invisibles was his own creator-owned book.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure, like, some of the Batman characters over his run were ones that he created. Because he created, like, a whole bunch of side characters from around the world and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So he created some characters and stuff. But, yeah, the Batman run, he also, like, he didn't create necessarily. He didn't create. Did he create Damian Wayne? Like, it's Demon. What was the Demon Knights or something like that was where Batman and Talia al Ghul got together.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it was ever said anything that there was a baby born out of that until Damian Wayne shows up during Grant Morrison's run. And Damian Wayne's become a staple in the...
Yeah, created by Grant Morrison and Andy Kubert. So there's a big character.
Yeah. Batman's illegitimate evil assassin son.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I brought one other thing, which was just something kind of something, nothing. I was like, okay, I've got all these very similar things. What do I have lying around that's not similar? And so I have this Canadian Cancer Society comic book from the 60s called Where There's Smoke. And it's an anti-smoking comic book.
Is this when you were looking for Silver Age bags? Is this what you needed?
No.
No, okay.
No. Thanks, though. Thanks for reminding me of the worst comic trips of my life. This is actually was put out by the American Cancer Society because...
Oh, look at that stain. I like it.
Yeah. It's from 1965, first published by the American Cancer Society, and they just changed the cover to put a little box on it that says Canadian Cancer Society. This one, it's a fragile boy there. Somebody's been smoking around it, probably.
You're saying don't drop this one.
Yeah, don't drop this one. I mean, I think I paid like $5 for it or something. But, and no, I haven't read it. It's not, that one's not to read. It's just to collect.
But. This kid looks like he's been smoking for years. Just all the lines on his face.
So, yeah, that was when I was looking for older Canadian comics. That was the one that I found for $2 that I bought or something. So, but yes, I did have a very disappointing experience going shopping for comics this past weekend. I went into Comic Alley Toys and walked right out because there was no point because I couldn't see anything because there was so much junk everywhere.
That's how it always is. You have and to move stuff around and dig. It's fun.
I was so upset because I literally was thinking to myself, I haven't bought like a back issue of a comic book for literally a year to 2 years. And I was like, I'm going to go there. And I've got my lists. I pulled out an old phone that I don't use anymore because it has my comic lists on it. I charged it up and brought it with me so I could check my lists, because all I wanted to do was buy a $2 comic to fill one small gap in a run.
Yeah.
Just like, and like, it's not like I was looking for a specific comic. I had a bunch of runs. I was just looking for one comic to make me feel like a collector again. And I walked in, said, this is, and then expletives, and then walked out because you couldn't look at any of their comics. And I was just, I was heartbroken.
Like I said, there's been times where I've gone in and I'm just like, it's like a brand new store. There's like, mm-hmm. It's nice and tidy. You can get every bin. There's other times where every single bin has a, like the science experiment backboards on it with like toys all over it. And mm-hmm. You can't get at it. And it's maybe like, damn.
Here's the thing. It was a Saturday. Like, shouldn't you have your comics available for browsing on a Saturday?
Oh, 100%.
Of all the days of the week, Saturday.
Yeah.
It's too bad, too, because they have a great selection of comics.
Oh, my God. I go there enough that I'm like, hey, guys, can I go through the boxes under the things? Like, go ahead. I'm like, cool, because there's certain sections of adult comics that they have down there, not up there.
Certain sections of adult comics.
They have to pull out, and then the kids come by, and I'm like, ugh, get away from me.
The kids come in the store, and the guys behind the counter go, they're like, stay away from that ginger. He's bad news.
Just throw a tarp over me.
Yeah, definitely don't go right before a convention.
Or after a convention. Or 6 months before a convention. Or 6 months after a convention.
If you go during a convention, though, because a lot of the stuff is gone, mm-hmm. So then you do have, because they sell mainly, like, their number one thing is toys that they sell. Yeah. And then the comics.
You know why? Because it's the only thing you can see.
It's true, yeah.
You can't see any comics.
Well, the toys are great, and I want to buy so many. They're so expensive.
I have them on Facebook. They've been posting.
Did you see all the superhero toys they got? Yeah. It's great.
The superpowers.
Yeah,
I saw it. You know what? I was so mad I was going to unfollow them on Instagram, and then they posted like those toys, and I was like, I can still look at the toys and be mad at them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all the time we've got for this episode. As always, you can check us out on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify.
And Twitter soon.
And Twitter. Adam has been tasked with creating a Twitter account for us.
It's at HeyKidsComicsCA.
At Hey Kids Comics CA, we promise no porn.
It's true.
So, tune in next week.
You have to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?